Okay, let's turn our Bibles tonight to, first of all, let's turn our Bible to Proverbs 22. Realize we just have a short segment of time left here. I want to encourage you to pray for the Lord's Day services on Sunday. That this Sunday will be a day of victory as we think of kids club parents that are starting to come and families that are beginning to be reached. We need to especially pray for that. Pray for daycare and pray for the openings there that are just beginning to open. And we need God's working there. You know, I was just thinking about this the other night as we talked about this the other night. Emily was just mentioning how when we started the bus ministry about 2 years ago, for 6 to 8 months, there's very, very little progress. Some of you remember little Jordan, who was the first one who came for many months, and as Emily and Micah visited almost every Saturday. And now, with Kids Club, there's finally beginning to be some openings. And it's a reminder of how we need to be faithful. And we have to go through those. Many times it takes a long period of time to build that trust or build those relationships or to go through the process of sowing the seed and keeping at it. And so continue to pray for the high school. We've just begun to see maybe a little bit of working there and how many times no one showed up. And it'd be easy to just give up and quit, but that's really not what the ministry is all about. It's about going on and being faithful. And so I want to encourage you to pray for these different ministries. We've only begun to see the beginning of a little bit of a harvest at the university. We have a lot of work to do. We don't know what the Lord will do in the future. But we need your prayers. Proverbs 22 verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, obviously we understand that many times a landmark was the boundary of a piece of property. And I remember the day that the surveyors pounded the stake at the corner of this, the original church property. And I remember looking one direction, I remember looking another direction in my mind and saying, now this stake is right here. And Mr. Schultz made his new road right around that stake, and I thought for sure that I knew exactly where that stake was. And a number of years later, when we got a little extra property for the new septic system at the parsonage, the surveyors had to come, and I said, I know exactly where that is. And, you know, I told them where it was, and it wasn't there. They had a metal detector, and it wasn't there. And I thought for sure I knew where it was. The one fence line was still there. but you know, that's how it is. The landmark gets, you think you know where it is. And this one didn't get moved. And I still didn't even know where it was. But what about if it got moved? Where would it be? Who would know where it is? You know, who would know where the correct boundary is? And of course, we understand this is a principle of honesty about your property line. And but you know, it is applied many different ways. Certainly it is applied to spiritual bearings, spiritual boundaries, spiritual bearings. So people know where they have come from. And so they can make sure that they're going in the right direction. You know, if you don't know where you're coming from, if you lose sense of direction, you're lost in any new setting. And so this is a principle that is obviously applied to spiritual principles that people need to know, you know, where they have come from. Now, we realize that the Bible is an unchangeable landmark. And the truth has never changed. The truth always will be the truth. But, you know, there's something human about the truth. And that the fact is that the truth takes on life. It takes on a vision. It takes on something you can see. And when you see the Word of God being lived, somehow it kind of, you know, fits together and makes more sense and is clearer in your mind of what it is. And so we're talking here about spiritual landmarks. And, you know, we've been talking about the spiritual landmarks of our Baptist heritage. And the fact is that we live in a day in which very few people even know where those landmarks ever were. And very few people even knew that they existed. And we live in a day of Bible ignorance. And because of it, you talk about historical ignorance. You talk about spiritual ignorance. You talk about biblical ignorance. And people think they're in the right path. And they're so far away from it, they don't even know where they are. And so we see an important principle of spiritual landmarks that we need to understand. 2 Timothy chapter 2, another important principle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Though that should you have heard among many witnesses. And we have the principle here of handing down the truth from generation to generation without change. And that's a very important truth. It's a sacred truth. And any person who is going to go into the ministry needs to have a sense of the sacredness of his calling and the sacredness of God's word and the sacredness of truth. And when truth is lost, it very well may never be regained unless there is revival. And of course, history tells us that many times revival has been brought about by a truth that was lost. And what would be the truth that is probably lost in the 21st century? I think there's a number of truths that are being lost. Certainly, the whole truth of holiness is a truth that has been lost. And the original holiness conference was centered around the whole idea that churches were losing the sense of the holiness of God, and they're abandoning their standards and abandoning their beliefs, and that there could be revival if people would be stirred up in the truth in that way. Now, as we think of our Baptist heritage, I guess I only have about 10 minutes, so let's go to Mark chapter 16. We could go to Matthew 28 as well, but we'll probably go there too. But what is one of the great landmarks of our Baptist forefathers? And really, you say, well, this is just the Bible. Well, exactly. But what is one of the great landmarks? Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we recognize this is the Great Commission. But really, Baptists in their history as evangelists has been lost. I remember basically hearing this statement over and over in my education. Well, tell me a Baptist evangelist. Tell me a great Baptist evangelist of the past. You know about Moody, and you know about Torrey, and you know about Finney, and you know about George Whitfield, you know about John Wesley, you know about the evangelists in America, Bob Jones, etc. But show me a great Baptist. There aren't hardly any. That is just the exact point they want to make, because that cannot be true. Cannot be true from two standpoints. One is, until 1776, to be a Baptist was almost universally outlawed in America. Except, of course, except for Rhode Island. But Baptist and immersion was almost outlawed in America till 1776. And then there was obviously a slow change. But you think about it, today, even today, the largest group, non-Catholic group in America is our Baptists. Last time I checked, there was about 57 million Baptists in America. Now, in the history, how did the Baptists come from being the least numerous and the most outlawed and the outlawed and the most persecuted to becoming the dominant group of people religiously in America? It didn't happen because there weren't any evangelists. In fact, it's men like, I believe it was Samuel Harris, that turned Virginia from mainly a Church of England persecuting Baptists, and much of the history of Virginia before 1776 was persecution of Baptists and put in jail and et cetera. And to Virginia under his lifetime becoming a predominantly Baptist state. It didn't come by Baptists moving into Virginia. It became because there was a great evangelist and there was great revival that took place in that state. And Schubel Stearns didn't move to North Carolina and find that there was a great group of Baptists there. No, he found a great group of people. And until that time, there's a tremendous antagonism to the Baptists. But under Schubel Stearns, there was great revival. And in two generations, through his leadership, 1,000 churches were established. Evangelism, okay? Evangelism and revival. And that it has to be the lifeblood. That is the lifeblood of a Bible Christian. That's the lifeblood of a Bible Christian. And isn't it amazing today that that the lifeblood of Baptists is being robbed? That the focus of many of our institutions, the focus of many of our churches, and many times the focus in our lives has died out. I was just reading about Central Seminary, and Central Seminary in early days was a great soul-winning institution. And I was reading about their evangelism class in Central Seminary, in a seminary level. And this is in the 1950s, early mid-50s, and in their evangelism class, you had to witness to someone every day. I mean, not to pass out a tract, but you had to talk to someone every day about the Lord Jesus Christ, give them the gospel, and if you didn't, you got an F in the course. That was the fervency that was not so long ago universal among the higher, the institutions of higher education. Oh yeah, they had Greek and they had Hebrew and they had theology and they had all, and they had high academic standards, but the focus of all of it was what? Winning souls to Jesus Christ. Winning souls to Jesus Christ. Now, I think it's a twofold point here. One is we need to know our heritage. And it's not just a label. We need to know our heritage from the Bible. Need to know our heritage from history. And we also need to know our recent heritage. And we also need to open our eyes and say, what's happened? You know, why is it possible that we are dying? Is it possible that we are dying? Jim Beller's original book was called The Coming Destruction of the Baptist People. Kind of interesting title. But what is he saying? He's saying for a number of reasons, this great group of people called Baptists, who are not Baptists by accident, that as a whole, the movement is in danger of dying. Because why? It's left the ancient landmarks. And you know, we can do that individually. And we can do that as a church. And institutions around us can lose that. And then we think of our future, young people, and need to be on fire to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes young people lose their fire for Jesus Christ because their teachers have lost their fire, or their adults have lost their fire, or their pastor has lost his fire, or its church has lost its fire. I was pretty excited. I didn't hear this directly, heard indirectly, that Mr. Henning's son came with him to UW because his class assignment was to pass out 5 tracts or something like that. I don't know what class is he in, 4-year-olds? Is that the class he's in? Yeah, he's in a 4-year-old class. He had an assignment to pass out 4 tracts. And so he needed to meet people, so he went to UW. Passed out 4 tracts. Amen. I'm not sure if he's saved yet, but if he is, he's learning to do the right thing at the right time. Now, there's a number of things I want to mention, but we'll have to stop there. But really, the landmark is the gospel. Getting out the gospel to the ends of the world. And, you know, every one of us as adults, I know this as a person. If I do not determine what I should be doing by the Bible and putting specific plans in my life to do it, it won't happen. You know, it's important to put specific plans in your life and go by the Bible and say, you know, this is what we ought to be doing. And men, need to have a specific time that we're out. And either that, or we need to have a specific time and our goal every day to talk to someone about Jesus Christ and not be satisfied if we don't get a chance to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. Well, I guess that's all our time for our lesson. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God and a very simple truth, a foundational truth, Lord. a landmark truth. And the world is bigger than ever and full of more unsaved people than ever before. And Lord, there's so many things that take away our zeal for lost people. Help us to catch them and to consider and to name them and to deal with them. And help us to put specific plans in our life to be about the most important thing. That very thing that if we don't put into our life will slip away, and Lord, it will have lost a very huge sense of your purpose for our life, even while we may be busy doing good. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts about this. Help men, ladies, children, even now, to make specific responses, decisions about the Word of God and our duty, that we might have the fervency that is found in the New Testament and in our forefathers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's have this time for prayer.